But I'm going to ask myself a question. Where does my help come from? That's a question that you need to bring into the equation to analyze the situation, whatever the situation is that you may be facing. Okay, I look up there. I look at the economy. I look at my bank. I look at whatever it is I need to look at. But really, where? But I'm going to ask myself a question. Where does my help come from? That's a question that you need to bring into the equation to analyze the situation, whatever the situation is that you may be facing. Okay, I look up there. I look at the economy. I look at my bank. I look at whatever it is I need to look at. But really, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help is bigger than those mountains. Yes, help can come from everywhere and anywhere, but I know where my help is coming from. It's coming from the Lord. I will look unto the author and the finisher of my faith.
We're good. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for the authority of your word. Your word is transformative. Your word is elevating us from the place of nothingness to a place where we can boldly say we are sons of the Most High God. We belong to you. Thank you, Father, that your word is preparing us to be your bride. Your word is turning our lives around. Our minds have been renewed, and your grace is sufficient. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful privilege that we can now say, I belong to God. God loves me. Thank you, Father, that it is so. Because of all that Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, our elder brother, our Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, has accomplished. Thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. It's a joy to share the word of God with you again this evening. I am not done with what the Lord has been establishing in our spirits about receiving, having, and keeping the word of God. Sure, I can just preach about it, but then you will not know how it works. And what point is that? So many have heard the word of God, but because they don't understand, they lose out. The Bible tells us about the parable of the sower who went and scattered the seed. Some fell on a pathway, trodden under the foot of men. Some fell amongst rocks. They grew but did not have root, the Bible says, in themselves. And so those seeds got scorched. Then some fell in a thorn-infested land. Those grew and bore fruit, but not completely, because the cares of this world penetrated and destroyed the fruit of their lives. And then others fell in the good soil. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in Luke 8, he says, these are those who in a good and honest heart received the word, kept it, and produced fruit with patience. They produce fruit with patience. And we have established so far this three, four things. That receiving when we ask does not mean that we have. When you ask, your consignment is filled. But to have, you have to say. So many people pray. They believe that they receive, but that's all they do. They don't recognize that they have another role to play, that they have to keep on speaking with thanksgiving the word of the Lord so that they can have it. Then we talked about the fact that just having it does not mean that you're going to keep it. You can have, but not keep. The thorn-infested ground had it. It grew, but it did not prosper because it did not keep it. And the best illustration I can give to you is the quarterback that is throwing the ball. It's throwing the ball to the receiver. But the receiver has to have that ball and keep it. If he allows the defense to hit him before he's kept that ball long enough and the ball falls to the ground, we say he fumbled it. Too many times we fumble the word of God. Too many times we fumble the answers that God has given to us because we did not keep it. And we establish from the word of God that that's how God created all of this. God spoke the word and the world became. But then he commanded, the word of God says, in Psalm 33, and it stayed. You have to command that which you have received to stay. Praise the Lord. How do you command it to stay? You command it to stay when you give that which you have received an assignment. You ask God for something, you have it. Now give it an assignment. God created all of this and he gave everything that he's created an assignment. He says, go, multiply, be fruitful, produce fruit after or seed or fruit after your kind. That is a mandate. This is your assignment. This is what you're supposed to do. Many times we receive stuff and we don't know why we received it. And it has no assignment and therefore it has no reason to continue to exist. Give what you've received and have an assignment so you can keep it. Do we have that so far? Those are important principles or keys of the kingdom. That's how the kingdom works. Or else you become frustrated in your relationship with God. Now, Luke 8 tells us that they produce out of a good and honest heart, having kept the word, fruit with patience. They produce it with patience. In other words, they did not allow their hope to fail. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. The Bible also says that when the heart is sick, it is because of what we read in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 today. It says the heart is desperately or deceitful above all and desperately wicked. That statement, desperately wicked, means to be sick. Why is it sick? Because hope is deferred, which means that God is not about keeping from us anything. However, there's sometimes a lag in time between when you asked and received by faith, for we are blessed already with all spiritual things in heavenly places. You're already blessed. And everything you are ever going to ask has already been put in store, because God knows your past, your present, and your future. And so when you asked, it's not when God knew. Come on. When you asked, it's not when God knew that you had a need. Let me say that again. When I ask, it's not when God got the information that I need something. Because God knows the past, the present, and the future. And before I ask, even before I was born, God knows what I'm going to ask for. Can we get that so far? And so God, who knows what I'm going to ask for, has had millennia to get it ready. My frustration is, okay, you know already. I ask now, why is it not in my hand now? Because God is not in the business of just supplying you. God is in the business of making you. God wants the qualities that he has to be manifested in me. And more than giving me stuff, he's trying to make me more like him. Hallelujah. And so therefore, I must stay positioned at all times, knowing that even though I don't have it in my hand right now, it is not because God has forgotten me, but that God is doing something inside of me that helps me to learn the principle of abiding under his covering. And that's what patience is. Patience is the grace to abide under the covering. You are abiding under the covering. That's what patience is. Patience has nothing to do with time. It has something to do with you being in that place. You learning, there is no other answer that I want but the answer of my God. I will abide and stay in this secret place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So running out and trying to find plan B, C, D, E, F to Z and whatever else, Z1 or Z1, Z2. It's not going to solve the problem. Just calm down. Be patient. That fruit is going to come to pass. I read many years ago about a Chinese bamboo. This Chinese bamboo, you plant it, and you wait for it to grow, but there's not a sign of this bamboo. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, a year plus. I think it's even 2 or 3 years. The ground is sown, but nothing. And then one day, green shoots out. And within a few days, that thing shoots up about 100 feet. I wonder, you know, when I read about that, I wondered, I said, who on earth planted something and waited for 2-3 years? How did they know that this particular bamboo tree is going to take a while? Who was the first person? I tell you what, that first person was led by the Spirit of God. Let me say that again. That first person was led by the Spirit of God. Let me say it the third time. That person was led by the Spirit of God to say, calm down, wait, wait, it's going to grow, wait, it's going to grow, wait, it's going to grow. It reminds me of my daughter many years ago. She was just about a year and a half maybe, if that. Oh, less than that, months actually. She crawled consistently to a flower pot. And she would grab the soil from the flower pot and stick it in her mouth. She kept on doing that. And we said, stop that. That's not good. Don't be doing that. Well, there again, then she goes. So we took her for her checkup and we said to the doctor, well, we're just about to leave. I said, doctor, something is happening. We don't understand why. I said, what's happening? Our daughter keeps on going to the flower pot and eating sand. Oh, he says, oh, she needs iron. Huh? Gave her a prescription for iron. We gave her the iron droplets, and that was the last time she went to the flower pot. I said, huh? How did she know that what she needed in her body was in the flower pot? That is being led. You are a spirit being, and God will direct you to do certain things that are appropriate for your well-being. Praise the Lord. We must learn to trust God's direction. God, our Heavenly Father, will direct our path when we've learned how to acknowledge Him as Lord and Sovereign over our lives. There are decisions I've made through the years. I didn't know why I was making that decision. I'm doing something, the Lord says, stop here. And obeyed, I stopped there, and I find out later, if I had gone further than that, I would have created a big fat mess for myself. Following the directives of God helps to change the trajectory of your life for good. So what does the Lord say to us? The Lord says to us, He says, be careful how you hear. In Luke 8 and verse 18, he says, be careful how you hear. It's important for you to hear. Take heed. Therefore, how ye hear. Now, when you see that word, therefore, you must ask yourself, what is it therefore? So everything that he's been talking about in the earlier parts of chapter 8 are crucial. What are some of the things he talked about? It's the parable of the seed. And in fact, he tells the disciples, when they told him, we don't understand what you are talking about. And he says to them, if you don't understand this, are you going to understand anything else? This is the master key. The seed is the word of God. Someone say, the seed is the word of God. Every seed produces after its kind. It's a spiritual law. Is that not? Therefore, every word must produce after its kind. The future that you are living right this very moment, what you are experiencing right this very moment, used to be the future. Once upon a time. Praise the Lord. So the future that you are living and existing in right now, most likely, is founded on the things that you said yesterday, last year, 10 years ago. You are walking every time towards the future that you are creating based on the words that have come out of your mouth. And I shared with you today, this morning, from the book of Numbers, God says, based on what you've spoken to my hearing, that's what I'm going to do for you. And I said to us this morning that the reason God says that in Numbers 14 and verse 28 is simply because God doesn't want you to be a liar. All liars, the Bible says, will end up in the lake of fire. God doesn't want me to end up in the lake of fire. And so therefore, God is going to make sure that the lies that I'm speaking and spouting out don't happen that way, by confirming and coming to agreement that that truth is the truth for you. Are we together so far? It's important. This is foundational. As truly as I live, this is God swearing. God doesn't swear, but God swears. As truly as I live, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Wait a minute. When did I see God? When did I see you and spoken to your ears? I'm everywhere present, and when you were saying it, I was there. I heard you. I heard you loud and clear. You said you are a failure. That's exactly what you're going to be, because I'm in agreement with you. Let's go for it, failure. Or you can say, I'm a victor, more than a conqueror. And God says, attaboy, that's right. You are. Give me five. God is going to. Because he doesn't want you to be a liar. So what is it that I'm saying out of my mouth? And most likely because of what I have been hearing, listening to, paying attention to, embracing, and believing that that is going to be what it says it will be. God is waiting for me to do like Jacob did when Rachel gave birth to Benjamin. She said, his name is Benoni, son of sorrow. And Jacob jumped in right there and said, no, his name is Benjamin, son of my right hand. What are you doing to shut down the activities of the enemy? The word of God says, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. And so he gave me something in the word of God, found in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. He says, you should guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence. But what is it that I need to guard my heart with? With faith, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. When the enemy speaks, you speak and shut him down. That's what David did with Goliath. Goliath says, I'm going to feed you to the birds and the beasts of the field. And young David says, No. That's not how it's going to happen. I'm going to feed you and the Philistines, all of your host. I'm taking good care of you. Because guess what, fool? You didn't come fighting against Israel. You came fighting against God. This battle is the Lord's. And I've come to experience that once upon a time, a bear came and tried to take care of my stuff, tried to take that which I am keeping. And I went after that bear and I covered it to death. And a lion did the same thing. I held it by its beard and I whacked it. I killed both of them. And this Philistine is going to be the same. I'm going to whack this sucker. How dare you? You opening your mouth and coming against God? You uncircumcised Philistine. You're not in covenant. I'm in covenant. You are not. I have a covenant with the living God. And you don't. And as a person of covenant, I will prevail. Hallelujah. You must have that grace in your life based on how you hear. You don't listen to some person who has no idea about your future, telling you that you're not going to make it in life, that you're too old. And Caleb says, I tell you what, I was 40, now I'm 80, and I'm tougher now than I was then. Give me this mountain. Hey, guy, don't you know there are giants in there? I know, but when I get there, they will no longer be there. Do you and I have that kind of believing? The word of God comes into our lives to empower us. How friendly are you with the word of God? What is the thing that you're most connected to? CNN? Fox News? CBC? The Winnipeg Free Press? They're all liars. They're all liars. With their signs, with their polls, with their whatever, they're all liars. None of them know anything about anything. If that's what you're building your faith by, you mess up. The Lord reminds me of something I read many years ago. There was a man, he went into a restaurant and he's reading this newspaper. And the information on the newspaper talked about a crash in the economy and a run on the banks. He's reading it. But he did not see that the date was not a present time date. So he runs out screaming, better go to the bank right now. Go to the bank and get your money because there's a crash. There's a crash. There's a crash. So everybody that heard him spread the word and they ran on the bank trying to get their money. And the banker says, what's going on? Why is everybody coming here and wanting so much money all of a sudden? He said, there's a run. Or rather, the economy is crashing. Where did you get that information from? Well, we read it in the paper. I read it. It's in the paper. What paper? This one. Let's see that. You look at the date. It was a paper from 30 years. 30 years before. They're running on the bank based on old information. How are you running your life? You're running it on old information. The accusation of the enemy. The one who says that you're never going to make it. Or you're running your life based on the word of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the goodness of God. The one who says, I know you, I know you. I know the thoughts that I have concerning you. My thoughts concerning you. It's good. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to make your life great. But no. You're basing your life based on your circumstance, whatever that circumstance is. And God is saying, think differently. Think differently. That's not my agenda for you. John writes, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Do you know that God wants the best for you? Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I think I'm cursed. You think so? God will agree with you. God will agree with you. I don't think any good thing is going to happen for me. God will agree with you. I think my life is doomed. God will agree with you. Why are you thinking the way you think? The chances are it's based on what somebody else has spoken into your life. And you have decided to believe them or believe the circumstance that you're going through right this very moment than God's capacity to establish you. The devil's a liar. He's a good liar. But your truth in God will cancel out every lie and every conception of the enemy. Every conception, every concept. The word of God says, don't be poured into the mold of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind. My prayer today is that God will cause our minds to be renewed. Not just to any other mind. Not just to another mind. But to the mind of Christ. And God says, you have the mind of Christ. The mind of the anointed one. That anointed one who by his anointing destroys yokes. And removes burdens. God calls us to victory, not to failure. He says, and my people shall never be ashamed. Sin brought shame, then righteousness must eradicate shame. We will receive that. He says, be careful what you're listening to. What are we listening to? You and I must do due diligence to guard our hearts. Why? Proverbs 4:23. Out of it proceeds the issues of life. Is that not what it says? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. God keep your heart with all diligence. Because, for, when I took grammar, they said you can always substitute for because. Keep your heart with all diligence because out of it are the issues, the outgoings, the boundaries of life. How do you keep your heart? Watch what you are listening to. Don't hang around unbelief. If unbelief is sounding around you, get away from it. Yeah, I believe, but get away from that but. Run. Get away from it. Because sooner or later, you are going to believe whatever it is you keep on listening to. It will become the truth. That's why propaganda is so powerful. They keep on repeating a lie, and pretty soon the lie replaces the truth. So before you corrupt yourself with the nonsense that has been said, as much as true as it might seem, get away from it. Protect your heart. You're going to die today. No. Today is not my day for dying. I shall live and testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not ready to die yet. We give you 2 months. No. Unacceptable. A man called Hezekiah was even told by the prophet of God, Hezekiah, get your house ready, you're going to die. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and says to God, this is not happening. I'm not listening to this. I have been a good boy. Hey, do you remember when nobody was bringing tithes and offerings and everything? The priests were not functional? No. And Isaiah was not even out of the palace. And God speaks to Isaiah, the same Isaiah he spoke to and told to go tell Hezekiah that he's going to die. Told Isaiah, go tell Hezekiah he's going to live. So he comes and says, God says you're going to live. I say, really? I'm going to live or I'm going to die? Which is it? You're going to live. Okay, I need proof. We're going to speak the word of command. You get it? We're going to speak the word of command. What are we going to command? We're going to command that the sun backs off. So that we back off time. So that it is like you never showed up here and told me I'm going to die. We're going to back up time. That's command. Isaiah says, okay, we're in agreement. Son, back down. And he lived. With 15 more years added to his life. Even when it was God who said, the man believing and trusting in the sovereign goodness of God made God say, no, okay, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what you want. Do you have that much power? Yes, if you have that faith of God. So he says, come, let us reason together. I don't reason with my dog. You reason with somebody that has the capacity to reason. God says, place your case before me. And based on the works of my hands, command ye me. Huh? What are you talking about? Command who? Yeah, based on my word. Bring your argument. Place your argument here. And tell me why you think the way you think. And then we'll do it the way you want. That's powerful. That is powerful. What is that all about? God calling me to have a relationship with him. He says, I'm not going to do anything without talking it over with my friend, Abraham, who is the father of faith. And the word of God says, God blesses us through faithful Abraham. It doesn't even say blesses us through Jesus. Jesus, our Lord, came to make sure that we connect with this blessing that is upon faithful Abraham. Is there anything God will not do with you and for you when you trust him? God is on my side and God is on your side. Hallelujah. And he will do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think. And God is just looking for somebody to believe him. Yeah. God is looking for somebody to believe him. Will I believe him today? As I wrap this evening, I want to remind you of two things. You've heard me talk about this before, and there's a quickening in my spirit this very moment to restate it. I was living on Lynncrest. When the Lord came to me, and he spoke to me, I heard him from my left ear, like he was standing by my side. I heard it, it made me turn. He said, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, what? He said, I'm looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, what are you talking about? People have been dying. What are you saying? He said, death came because of sin. Okay. I've paid the price of sin. Okay. Therefore, you don't need to die. I said, okay, I know I don't need to die spiritually, but physically? He said, yeah. He said, didn't I say in my word, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you shall not die. Yeah, you said that. I said, he says, you're still dying because you've not believed my word. Huh? You don't need to die. I'm listening to God talk to me about this. This is making sense. I said, Lord, are you saying that I don't need to leave this body and go into the grave? He said, absolutely. What if I am tired of all these suckers? They're messing up and doing crazy things and I just want to get out of here. He said, yeah, you can still do that. I said, okay, that means I will die. He said, no, you don't need to do that. I said, then what am I supposed to do? He said, as you walk closely with me, I can just take you up. Huh? He said, I did it before. Remember a guy called Enoch? I said, yeah. Enoch walked with God and was not. See, you don't need to go to the dirt. Now I'm thinking about it. This makes a lot of sense. So I said to the Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. this is like too much. What? That is possible? Yes. It is not just possible. That's what it is meant to be like. John is being cooked up in oil and hot boiling oil, and the guy won't die. He says, the only reason you die is because you're satisfied with life. You say, God, take me up. Beam me up. Beam me up. Someday, we all will be beamed up. Amen? Because we're the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. God wants to do extraordinary things in us and through us. And finally, the Lord reminds me to say to you today, something He said to me many years ago. He asked me this question. He said, do you know why I was in the grave for 3 days? I said, no. Why were you in the grave for 3 days? He said, on day one, I took care of everything in your past. Oh. On day two, I took care of everything in your present. I said, this is good. He said, on day three, I took care of everything in your future. He said, son, you are covered. You are covered. Stay under this covering, knowing that your past, your present, and your future has been taken care of. I told you that was going to be the last one, but take me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15, actually verse 14 and 15. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Anything God does, it is going to be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear him, or fear before him, or have reverence for him. Everything God does is forever. You can add to it. You can subtract from it. It's exactly how he says it will be. And then it says in verse 15, that which had been, B-E-E-N. I remember going through high school, university, and not knowing the difference between B-E-E-N and B-E-I-N-G. And I'll write this amazing document or whatever, and every time the teacher will circle B-E-E-N or B-E-I-N-G, he will just circle it with red ink. So one day, I was in university already, my last year at UFW. I said to the teacher, I said, why do you guys keep on circling this thing? He said, don't you know? I said, I don't. That's what I'm asking. He said to me, B-E-E-N is past. B-E-I-N-G is present tense, continuous. Oh, that's why. Okay. That was the last time I had red circles. So I know that that which had been is now, means that which is past is now. It is past. It is now. And that which is to be, that is future, had already been or is already past. Oh. The future is already past. Yeah. And God required that which is past. Wait a minute. But that which is past is now. So therefore, past, present, future is all now. So the word of God says, now faith. Faith that cometh by hearing. You must have a now perspective to it. Now, now, now. I receive it now. I have it now. I keep it now. In the mighty name of Jesus, and push on without believing the lies of the enemy that say you are inadequate. You are not qualified. You will never be this. Because what? Because what? Oh, you're not good enough. Stop that. The word of God says in James, every good and every perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat. I'm good and I'm perfect. Don't you ever come around me and tell me you're not perfect. I would not agree with you. I'm saying I'm perfect. Look at this specimen of perfection. Because I'm going to agree with God, because that's what I want to be. Jesus, our Lord, says, no man is good. But then he speaks about you and says that you're good. What do you want to accept? He says, I'm good. I say, I'm good. And as a good man, I have a good and honest heart that is protected, and the seed of God's word will prosper in me and through me forever. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Rise with me for a moment. You don't know this song maybe, but some of you might know it. It's very simple. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for you. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. Jesus, we are here. We are here for you. Redeemer, we are here. Savior, we are here. Deliverer, we are here. We are here for you. Lord, we are here for you. We rest in your goodness. And we ask, oh God, that you take every corruption out of our hearts. Purge us of everything that is betraying and sabotaging your perfect will in our lives. Lord, whatever it is that we've heard, whatever it is that we've kept in our minds, in the subconscious level and the conscious level, that is not like you, that is not your word, surgically remove it. And fill us with the fullness of life. For the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. And Lord, oh God, we are embracing your eternal word. And Lord, oh God, let every level of consciousness in us be addressed by your everlasting word. That the decisions and the motivations of our lives be motivations and directives founded on your solid word. For upon this rock, you are building your church, and we are your church. And your word says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. Father, we will not be prevailed over. We will prevail over the enemy. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, empower us to terrorize the forces of darkness, to tear down strongholds, and to fly high the flag of the kingdom of God, the flag that the King is in residence here. Blessed be your name. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God. I'm born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Father, your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. Your word says that your word spoken shall not return back to you void. It must accomplish that which it is sent for. So we understand that because we've been created in your image and likeness, whatever it is that we say comes back to us. And Lord, you are riding on this praise and you are inhabiting us. For you are the God who inhabits the praises of your people. Inhabit us. Fortify us. Fight for us. You are our Father and our fighter. And Lord, oh God, we declare this day, we win. We win. We win. We are more than conquerors. And we have been made more than conquerors because of you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to have you this evening. I'd like to remind you that starting on Wednesday, I believe it is, we are going to have special meetings. We are starting the new year. And don't miss it. Come. God is going to speak to us and address us. And then after that, we're going to have the Feast of Atonement. That's going to be a two-day meeting, the 11th and the 12th. And then we're going to have Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? So please be reminded of that. And so this Wednesday, special meeting, spread the word. Don't receive the word just for yourself. Amen? At this time, come. Please honor God with your giving, your tithe, your offering. Whenever you hear the word of God, it is important that you sow into that word. That's part of how you keep it. Amen? Sow into the word of God. And God will open the windows of heaven over your life and speak the blessing over your life. And the word of God says that he will multiply your seed sown, your way out of poverty is first and foremost in investing in God first. Then you can do other investments, whatever it is you want to do out there. And God will direct you whatever it is, in whatever it is that you do. But you start in the house of God. Amen? God bless you richly. Hallelujah. Well, we'll say bye to those that are online on YouTube and Facebook. Thank God for you. Join us on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. All of our special meetings start at 6:30. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we'll look forward to seeing you. Well, I see Sister Jeanette Ellis on Zoom.